You not wanting to run with me in the race makes me feel like I need to make you run with me.
I feel like you asked me in such a way that was like, we're not running together, right?
Because you said,
Now what?
yeah, we're not doing that. And I was like, well, but what if I wanted to? Well, you're already decided we're not. So then now I've decided that we are.
Slower or faster? I don't know where I am compared to you,
Are you trying to
but
speak like Dr. Seuss? Slower
yes,
or
or
faster? I
Yoda.
cannot tell. First of all, you're younger
When
than
you
me
are,
and you've actually been training, so of course you're faster. Stop trying to be polite.
I have not been training. Just because your watch says that I finish a workout doesn't mean that I'm like, I have a sweatband on and I'm like really training. There's no Rocky playing over here. Sometimes I just walk around a little. If you're not running at your pace, whether it's too fast for you or too slow for you, it's an extra painful thing that's happening when you're running, like mentally. Have you ever tried to jog
I
or
already
run with
have so
somebody
many
else?
painful things happening in my brain while I'm running. It's all
That's what
painful.
I'm saying. We can't add more to that.
Okay, here's my concern. I have zero desire to push myself.
Okay.
I'm afraid I'm just gonna walk it.
Okay.
We'll be there for 19 hours.
That's the thing is there's a limit. There's a 3 hour limit, and I will not get wheeled off of this track in a golf cart. I'm not going to get scooped up by somebody.
So funny. I didn't know there was a limit. That will
Just
help.
saw it the other day.
3 hours for how many miles? 40?
13.
I think we could do that in three. I think I could make it in 3 hours.
Yeah, the only goal for me is to not get swooped up.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good goal. Okay, I didn't know there was a limit, but I know that when I see you, I want to spend time with you.
Oh, we can do it if you want to. I just think it's going to make it even harder.
It is going to make it even harder. But wouldn't we be able to make each other laugh and then we could just keep going? You're an encourager.
Okay.
You can encourage me. I don't know if I want you to run with me. Well, I'm glad we figured that out.
Now I'm confused and concerned. Well, before I didn't care at all.
Back, friends. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I'm your host, Emily Thomas. I'm so glad that you've joined us. I hope that you had a really nice Christmas. I don't know if you are a person who leaves your tree up until like January 6th or something. I took my tree down the very next day because our tree cost $19.99. I don't know if you saw it on Instagram, but it looks like it cost $19.99. And it made me really sad. And actually, on Christmas Day, it's so wobbly. I think it just finally got tired of living. It knocked itself over while we were opening presents, and a bunch of ornaments broke. And I said, you know what? That's it. You are out of my life in 2020. And so I had a lovely December 26th throwing that tree in the garbage where it belonged, where it really wanted to be. I think we're all better off. So at the top of the show, you heard my sister and I having some serious discussion about how this marathon thing's going to go down. If you feel like you're not even getting enough chit chat between sisters, I've heard that some of you feel like we remind you of you and your sister. I love that. Some of you don't have sisters and you wonder what it's like. Be our honorary sister. We're not afraid of that. Some of you have sisters, but they're not as cool as us. That's got to be hard. Again, be our sister. We're open to that. But seriously, if you want more shenanigans, two times more a month, go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. And for just $3 a month, I think it's like 10 cents a day. I've already forgotten the numbers. You'll get a whole bunch more, plus a private Facebook group. I want to say thank you to Ashley, Amber, Cassie, Casey, two Sarahs, a Tiffany and a Tara, a Deb, Elizabeth, a Samantha, and a Julie, and a partridge and a pear tree. Just kidding. I don't even know what a partridge looks like. Has anyone ever seen a pear tree? Those guys didn't join us, but all the other names, they just joined us. They're the newest honorary sisters. And y'all make sure you are getting into our Facebook group now that you are part of the Patreon Struggs. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, I didn't do it last week because I was at the doctor's office with one of my sick kids, but we met at 9 a.m. Central, except for I don't know what time it is. Several people joined from Nova Scotia, which I felt very honored, you guys. Thanks for that. But at 9 a.m. Central on Thursday, let's meet on Instagram. We'll just chat for a little bit. I tried to get some people to join me and they declined to join me. So that's fine. But we talked about the show. We talked about killing us softly, giving us life. We just had a really good time. So let's try it again. Let's do it. So on Thursday on Instagram, find me at Mom Struggling Well and let's chat. Okay, so this week I am talking to Ashley Hales. She is an only child who is raising 4 children. That feels like a shock. She also had more kids than she expected, a lot sooner than she expected. So I think some of you are like, your hands are in the air currently waving around because you're in the same situation. Me, I tried for so long to even get 2 kids. Oh my gosh, it was like a decade of trying and only 2 came. So I can't relate to that, but it does sound very difficult. So her life has not gone how she thought. Can anybody / all of us relate to that? Yes, we sure can. Ashley and I talk about how we're both stressed out by noise, like in our ear holes, but also in our eyeballs. And I think for me, for a long time, I felt bad about that. Like it was me being a princess or something. So if you are the same way, don't feel bad. We're all just made a little different. And some of us just need to have a clean house that is also quiet like a library. But because we're parents, that is not real life. So Ashley talks about what she does to access a deeper quiet internally when outside is a tornado. She also describes feeling like where she is and what she is doing isn't important and what to do when you are feeling kind of purposeless. So let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Ashley. Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Are you in California?
I am.
In Orange County?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So it makes your book, Finding Holy in the Suburbs. I lived in Orange County. It's tough.
It's a unique suburban environment for sure.
It's a very, at least for me, I got really caught up in materialism when I lived there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you.
Huh. Okay. So will you introduce yourself?
Yes. So I'm Ashley Hales. I wrote a book called Finding Holy in the Suburbs. I have 4 kids, all school age. Hallelujah. My husband is a church planter. I'm a speaker, writer, podcaster. And yeah, we just try to keep things spinning in the craziness of all of those combinations here.
Yeah. So you, I read that you are an only child raising 4 kids. So tell me what that's been like.
Yeah. You know, I think like the whole like sibling bickering and, you know, that they like fuss at each other was like super new for me. And I usually tried to like totally shoot it down. So that, yeah, like I was like, why don't we have any kids that just like to like sit and read? Because that was my life. But I think actually we do. I think we have, all my children are awesome readers, which I feel like, okay, I have not failed as a parent, but I think we have our 3rd child he was going through a particularly hard transition at the beginning of the school year, and he would just sit and read Diary of Wimpy Kid books. And then I was like, yay, he's not arguing. You can just go read and be silent. It was beautiful.
That's nice. That's really nice. You mentioned that you are like learning how to play with your kids, play again. Like maybe you didn't, I guess as a only kid, you maybe didn't play with a bunch of other kids?
That just sounds like I'm such a dork, but no. I got real deep real quick, like in my teenage years. I feel like I read, just wanted to have deep conversations with people. But yeah, my childhood, it was really fun. And I was like loud and the life of the party. And, you know, I could talk with adults since I was an only child. But I think, you know, you learn as you grow into being an adult what it looks like to what you're good at, right? And for me, that was like I was good at school. I was good at all of the depth stuff. And so allowing myself to play again with my kids and to appreciate the moment has been like a spiritual discipline that's been hugely important and helpful And so I'm trying to hold those in tandem, both. It's important to go deep with people and with God, but it's also really important just to like shrug it off and go play a family soccer game.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me how, I know it feels to people who are like good at playing, it feels like, why is this even a question? But I'm not that good at it either. It being a spiritual discipline, how did you go about making that into a thing? What's that look like?
Yeah. You know, I wish I was like, great. And it's like, here's my trajectory. And now I play and it's amazing. But I think a lot of it really is, you know, it started with me, with my youngest two now are 5 and 7. But when they were little and toddlers and home and preschoolers, I would like, you know, put them in the double stroller and we'd like go on walks and I would like let them get out and run around and we would like look at nature and the beautiful rays of sunshine, you know? And so there was part of me where I could feel like I could connect to beauty and like poetry kind of thing, but like we could just be chill and like be in the moment. And I think a lot of times the play for me looks like choosing to be in the moment instead of either being in my head or, you know, further down the road and future and dreams and plans and all of those sorts of things. And so, you know, I've tried to just do like small things like tea time. I don't do this even very regularly. I was just thinking about this. I just bought a whole thing of cookies at Albertsons. So I was like, so we could just do like tea and cookies during homework time instead of making it insane where everybody's melting down and like stuffing chips into their face. So, you know, just, and I was like, I'm not going to give myself the pressure of baking or something, you know, I'm just going to buy the store-bought cookies and it's fine. I don't have to be perfect. And like, that can be something that we are in the moment and that feels like play too. And then a lot of it too is getting into my body, right? And like tickling my children, even when I don't feel like it, or, you know, my son really does love family soccer games. Like that's on his bucket list every time there's time off from school. And like, I never played soccer, it was not my thing, but like, that's what they love. And I want them to remember a mom that chooses to be in it instead of like choosing to only be good at things that she's good at.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Really important. I want to take a quick break to tell you about a fitness watch I've been having a lot of fun with, and sometimes my husband even steals it and has fun with it as well. It's called the Polar Ignite. So Polar Ignite is a fitness watch that offers you a full view of your day. It provides guidance also to help you achieve a more balanced life. Polar Ignite is really thin, it's lightweight, and it helps you track your fitness data 24/7. The watch has so many features. It lets you track your sleep quality. It tells you about the sleep cycles you were in. And then it compiles all that information and gives you an overall sleep score. And then based on the way that you slept, it also gives you suggestions about how to train the following day. It's a great watch for people who don't know where to start when they're trying to work out. The watch actually suggests exercises for you and has animations to tell you what exactly those exercises actually mean. You can tell it how long you have to work out, and then it will adjust the training accordingly. And it also measures your heart rate and has GPS capabilities. And it has breathing exercises on there for when you need to take a moment and calm down. So if you are in the market for a fitness watch, head to polar.com/momstrugglingwell and check it out. Again, that's polar.com/momstrugglingwell. You mentioned in, I don't know where it is in your book or in your, you mentioned it someplace in some point that you have kind of walked through, and I think we all have, the life that we planned not being the one that we're actually living right now. And tell me how has that been for you?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, yeah, I think, unfortunately, I had these really, I mean, being an only child and being successful, and then also kind of I didn't want to fail at the things I wasn't great at, so I wouldn't try very much. Like I didn't join swim team because like that just felt super overwhelming, and I think I should have joined swim team and done really poorly and it would have served me much better, but you don't know that obviously when you're a child. And so
I did basketball team for precisely one practice for the same reason.
There you go. Yeah, because you weren't good enough. Or yeah. So I think, you know, I had this kind of idea of myself, even when it came to writing, like that I'm really good at writing about writing. I'm not very creative, like in college. And so I kind of went this, I'm going to go be a college professor. I loved that environment. I love studying, love reading. went off, my husband and I, after we were married, moved to Edinburgh, Scotland. He did his seminary degree and I started, super fun, a PhD. And I had this kind of sense of like, okay, like we're world travelers, you know, even though we're like, you know, making ramen, like we're doing something important and, you know, getting to be like in this historic global city was amazing. And then coming, we moved back home, we had jobs and then we had babies, and lots of them, more than we anticipated in a shorter amount of time. And, I mean, I remember various points, especially with my first, because that was like a whack upside the head of, wow, your life is different than you intended. Mm-hmm. But just feeling like I'm just stuck. I'm trapped. I have no idea how to connect who I was before with the reality that I'm in. And so there were some angry years for sure, because I couldn't access that successful world traveler, you know, thoughtful person, because, you know, you're exhausted and drowning in diapers. But it's been, it's kind of that motherhood in some ways, I guess, has sort of been my swim team of sorts. Then, I guess.
Look at that. So what worked during that time? Because I know a lot of listeners are in that kind of really in the middle of the trenches place with little littles.
Yeah, I don't think a lot really worked out well.
So good luck, sisters.
Right. Yeah, have fun. No, one thing, you know, after I got my feet under me a little bit more was, you know, to kind of throw some of those expectations out the window. I had a lot of expectations. I served my first child like this tofu frosting millet homemade cupcake, right, that he didn't eat for his first birthday. Nice. And now I'm like, whatever, we'll buy the stuff in like the day of and there's dye, but it will be okay.
So much blue dye, yes.
Yeah. I think there's, you know, there's part of us, I think, that says like, we can do it right. You know, if we make the right food choices or we figure out the right sleep routine or, you know, crafty. And there's a sense for women, especially like, I have to keep all the plates spinning. Yeah. I have to make everything amazing.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're making tofu frosting, then your house is going to be a mess. Like you can't do all of it perfectly. But we think we can.
Right.
Then we're mad at ourselves.
Yes. And then we live in like shame and guilt and we are like flipping through Instagram and like, look, everyone else is beautiful.
Yeah. Unfollow them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's good for your souls. But one thing I did was another pastor's wife had kids around the same age as me. We're both kind of drowning in it. And we decided we were going to meet weekly and pray together. And so we would literally like put our kids in the basement and turn on stupid.
Lock the door. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Exactly. Stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Give them snacks and they could watch a movie. And yes, we got interrupted a million times, but we were like, we're just going to sit and we're going to pray and we're just going to be present to each other. And over time that solidified not only our friendship, but gave us like something to look forward to.
That's great. I like that.
So no expectations, no formal Bibles today. Just like, hey, we're just going to show up and pray together.
Yeah. So nice even just to see another grown-up's face.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I remember even when we moved to Salt Lake City, which is where we were before we moved to the suburbs. And I just saw this really fun mom who's like playing with her kids. And I like just introduced myself because I had no friends. And I was like, hi, you look really fun and engaged. Like, can I learn from you?
Oh, that's like, so good.
Embrace awkward conversations, introduce yourselves, you know, like, yeah, I think grownups feel scary sometimes, but we need people.
Yes. And you know that she probably loved that. How nice to feel like someone, I see you and I like it. So let's be honest.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
That's so good. I like it. Okay, so you said that something you struggle with is envy and thinking that other people are better at parenting than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have you made progress?
That's a good question. I've come to like accept who I am and the way God has made me and be like, you know what? Like there are certain things like I would like to get back to cooking and create like slowing down and, you know, not feeling like I'm stuffing all of the home side of my life into little cracks and prioritizing other work or ministry stuff. But I'm also like, you know what, that's a season too, and it's okay. Yeah. So I feel like I've let myself off the hook a lot and choose to say, hey, the type of, like, what I will give my kids is hopefully love for people and their place and reading, and because that's kind of what we do all the time. Mm-hmm. And that they know that they have a safe place to come home to. And you know what? Like, I just put up some Halloween decorations and they're just like super ugly. And I don't care. It's okay. Like, that's just not going to be my thing. It's fine.
I love that you just put them up and you're like, yeah, that's ugly.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that my kids beg me to decorate and I won't because I just don't want, I don't like too much stuff around. It freaks out my eyeballs, and then you have to pay for it and then you have to take it down and I don't want to do it.
And then you have to store it. And
yeah. And so I told him, write it in a journal of something that you wish your mom did and she fell short and you're not gonna write it in a journal.
I love it. Yeah. And then they'll just have all of your faults in a journal at the end of their childhood.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my, I mean, and I don't have to change them because I'm not going to buy Halloween decorations. What is something that you are great at, though, at motherhood? Because we should do more reading, I realize, as you said that.
I don't know. I don't read as much with my young kids as I did with my older two. And we used to be awesome at reading out loud. And we've just kind of like after dinner with, sports schedules, that's kind of gone to the wayside. But at least they see me reading. And I feel like that helps. I think I do at least have a desire to be deeply connected and get to know my kids as little people, you know, and, as much as it's like, I can nag about cleaning up their stuff and obedience and screen time and what they're eating and how much sugar they've had. I'm like a broken record on those, all those sorts of things. I do feel like as they grow into bigger people that I really like them.
What do you do to get to know them?
That's a good question. I think I've always talked to my kids as they're like fully, that they're full people, you know, and not just like either robots or, I don't know, stupid babies without any intelligence.
Hey, stupid baby. You've had too much sugar today.
Right. I'm just like, I want to know what's going on. I mean, I try to ask really good questions. I remember one time we were sitting, I was driving just one of my kids and he was really quiet. And I was like, hey, what are you thinking about? And he comes up with this big old story about he'd seen a golf course and he'd like created this whole idea about all the tunnels, right, that are like in between like all of the golf holes. And like, he'd created this whole like world of underground transportation. And I was like, okay, wow, like you're super creative and out of the box. And I wouldn't have known if I hadn't asked questions. So I do try to ask questions, but with my, my oldest is 12. And so I'm trying not to ask him too many questions, where I become the nagging mom, like, tell me about your day. What's going on? Anything funny happen? It's a balance, but asking questions.
I think it's tricky because you ask the questions, they don't have anything to say. You're in the middle of something very time consuming or it, needs to be done in a timely manner. And that's when they want to tell you that they're being bullied at recess. And you're like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Could you have said something when I asked you how was recess?
Right.
What is something that as a parent that you've learned about that you never thought you'd know about because it's something your kids are interested in? Like, I know for me, I know so much about horses, more than I ever cared to know about horses.
Right. I mean, definitely sports. Like, I remember my oldest, he'd be like reciting all these facts. And I'm like, I think he's just making all this stuff up, like all these numbers. And then he'd be like talking to other adults. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he actually knows what he's talking about. Like, how does he just like imbibe sports information? And so, yes, I've become... Well, I've married into Dodger baseball fans. And so, yes, I will be there, at the games or we'll watch them. And I don't love sports at all. But, I at least have some sort of working knowledge more than I did, for sure. Or just to value, like, that you're not totally stupid if you are all about sports statistics. Like, uninteresting of a person if you care about sports.
Yeah. I don't understand sports either. Thankfully, none of my people do either, so I feel like I dodged a bullet there. One final break to tell you about Care Of. Ladies, it's time to get back into a healthy routine. We have made it through most all of the holidays. We are a little weary, maybe. We're very sugared up. but it's time to get back to normal. Care of makes it super easy to keep taking your vitamins and to maintain the healthy habits that we want to start in the new year. Care of makes it super easy to keep taking our vitamins and to maintain healthy habits in the cooler months. I will say, though, here in Dallas, it's the end of December and it's 65 degrees. So we're still waiting on the cooler months, but a lot of y'all are having cooler months. You're having a real live winter. So Care of has an online quiz. It's very fun. It's interactive, takes like 5 minutes. At the end of the quiz, you're going to get research-backed recommendations of the vitamins, supplements, and maybe protein powders that you need based on your completely personalized quiz results. I was really surprised at some of the things they suggested, but I went ahead and got them all. They suggested I take a protein powder based on my quiz, and I must say, try the chocolate. It's absolutely delicious. So Care of is personalized for you, even down to the packaging. The vitamin packs have your name on them, and they have fun facts for the day. I don't know why that makes me so pumped to take my vitamins, but it surely does. So for 50% off, yeah, 50, 50, your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter MSW50. So again, for 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter the coupon code MSW50. So you, one of overwhelm you mentioned is something that you struggle with, just feeling completely overwhelmed. And I live there too sometimes, so I get it.
Yeah.
You, though, are striving to be a non-anxious presence in your kids' mm-hmm. lives. So much mm-hmm. of the time we can put that on them. They can sense it. They just mm-hmm. sense mm-hmm. like we're the thermostat. Is that what it is? We yeah. set the temperature in the house.
Yeah.
And the thing I'm struggling with lately is still being myself
mm-hmm.
and also being a way that is beneficial to them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And so yeah. if anxiety and that kind of stuff is kind of, you know, something that is a part of you, not that we're saying we want to hold on to it because anxiety is the best, but just, yeah, how to not make our ickiness.
How to not spill over yes. onto your children.
That. Yes.
No, there's no way that I've like solved this. One thing that has been helpful, one, is that they're in school all day now. And so having like a 6 hour block of time where I just don't have the noise, like, a lot of it is just the noise and the chaos and the movement and like the dirty socks everywhere, right? You know, like visually and auditorily, where I'm just like, and I'm shutting down and I'm kind of flipping out a little
Absolutely.
Bit. And so a lot of it is that is at least in the, you know, functionally in those 6 hours, I can have a quiet space. And then the second thing is, you know, what am I doing to kind of quiet my own mind, heart, and soul?
Yes.
In those 6 hours, or even, you know, before or after, during, when they're home, to be able to be present with them. Because it's, you know, it's when I'm stressed out about deadlines, or, you know, I'm behind on something, or we don't have enough food, you know, and I forgot to go grocery shopping, and like all of these sorts of things that can contribute to that overwhelm, that then it's just easier to offload on little people, unfortunately. And so that has just been become part of, you know, how do I, even when my circumstances are crazy, how can I access that kind of deeper quiet?
So what works for that?
You know, recently we've started going through Pete Scazzaro's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality course. And he kind of talks through, what does it look like? Yeah. To be emotionally healthy and, you know, to be calm and mature and able to handle criticism. And so, yeah, that has been super helpful as a resource. And then part of that too is just spending some good time in silence in the morning and then the evening to kind of center yourself. Yeah, so I think that has actually been really helpful, is to actually, you know, stop, put the phone down, don't fill up every second, deep breathe. And then, you know, for people of faith to bring that to God. So yeah, I find that actually that, you know, there's all these neuroscience things about how it rewires your brain when you're quiet and you're alone. And I think we can just tend to fill up silence. And so that's been a really important part that's actually helped make me calm for
the day. Yeah. Yeah. I think, let me just ask, because I love silence a lot. I think I feel, I get my window of, like, this book I'm reading, I can't think of what the full name of the author or what she's talking about, but it's a great concept. I wish I could articulate it, but just the idea of like our threshold, everyone has a different amount that they can handle. And so when we look at some moms and we think they are doing everything and they're knocking it out of the park, and I am just a dud over here, not being able to do that. Like, we just have to give ourselves, like, I can't handle, like you were saying, visually, I can't handle a mess. Noise wise, I can't handle much, especially in a car. Why do the children want to scream in a car?
I know. We have to keep rearranging our kids in their in our minivan, because it's like, you are just too loud. You're now in the back row and you can't sit next to the other person that you're too loud at. They're going to have so many issues.
You are on the luggage rack on top. I've had enough. Anyway, just realizing that we all have different thresholds, and that doesn't make us bad. It just makes us different. But when we are silent, which I love doing, my little brain starts going so fast to see how can I use a silence super duper well. And then I'm no longer silent in my brain. There's a lot happening. So what's going on in the silence in your head?
You know, I think most of the time, like our grocery list, our to-do list, like all of our anxieties rise up, when we're silent. And I think like that's natural. And that's normal. I think it's just through time, like both elongating that time of silence as well as doing it regularly, that we're able to kind of move past just the frenzy, you know, of ourselves.
Yeah, I do. I think I need to get past the, am I doing right? Am I doing it? What should I be thinking of? Shut up, Emily.
Yeah. You know, I like to think of like even having a visual to kind of go along with, like picture yourself like being held, or, you know, just like, if I am a child of God, what does that look like? What does that feel like? You know, think about holding your own children. It's not like your baby's like, am I doing this babiness right? Like, you know, like,
it's good.
Am I performing okay? Right. And I think as adults, we lose that childlike wonder, and that childlike dependency. And so I think part of silence is trying to access it again. And it's pretty foreign.
That's so good. Yeah. Especially since some of us didn't necessarily feel safe in childhood. And so you like maybe don't even never have that. All right. So let's talk about your book, Finding Holy in the Suburbs. It does feel sometimes like if we're not in the slums of, you know, some country giving children food, that we're not making a difference and we're not amounting to much. Or I've kind of been dealing with a little bit going back to work full time. You know, we have a little bit extra money, and so I see what I can do to spend it because we have extra. And it's just getting too comfortable with our lifestyle and thinking that we need things that we actually are just wants and we don't need them at all. So, tell me how this whole book started for you.
So the book really started, I think, when we moved from Salt Lake City, Utah, back to the Southern California suburbs in Orange County, which is where both my husband and I grew up. And so it was a coming home to start a church here. And I think I realized, one, I just had very one-dimensional views of where I came from. And, you know, that these were the types of people who lived there. And yes, even though I think they need Jesus, I wasn't super keen on being the person
to tell them.
Right. And so I think really just realizing how much I had used my place as, you know, as a marker of belonging, and it just kind of called up short about the ways in which I had wanted my place to kind of suit my own cultural or intellectual values. And then when that kind of came to the fore, I was like, oh gosh, like, what do I do? And then, you know, having friends who, yes, they've left the suburbs to move to inner cities, or, you know, they're working with new immigrant populations, or, you know, they're feeding the homeless, or, you know, they've moved overseas, and, you know, or they even just like have a really high powered job in a big city. And like, what am I doing? I'm a suburban mom. Like, I hate that I fit all of these stereotypes. And yet, how can God use me here? And how can he like root out all of the mess in my own heart, as well as like give me a mission and a purpose for this time and this place that is beyond me and my comfort?
So what did he do?
Yeah, well, it's funny because at the end of the book, I write, you know, I had hoped that, you know, after writing the book, I'd be like, I've got it sorted now. I'm super content here, and we're all living this really lovely life together, and people's lives have been changed. But I mean, that's true. And yet, you know, we've lived here in the suburbs now for 4.5 years, and you know, there's still times where I'm like, can we just have something different, God? Something a little sexier, a little more fun, you know, that feels like I could be flourishing more. But yeah, I think we've learned the discipline of like small starts and staying put, and the beauty of faithfulness to a place that really only happens when you choose to kind of dig in. And, you know, it's continual repentance of judginess, you know, because I realize that probably stems from my own sense of inadequacy, or, you know, wanting to be it all and do it all. Yeah. So it's just kind of a continual reorientation to my actual physical place, to the actual people right in front of me.
Huh. It's hard when they don't seem like they need Jesus. They're doing fine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think we, starting a church, you get to compile a little bit of the misfits of a place, and just kind of realizing, you know what, that's sort of who we are. Like, we're not a big fancy show. We're not any other sort of kind of consumeristic model of church, of just like, go here and you have 18,000 programs to choose from, you know, on 18,000 services to choose whatever fits like your soccer schedule of the hour. And I think, you know, we're saying like, hey, this is a family, and families take work, and families are beautiful, but because you're known in families, but they're broken too. And so like, we're welcoming people into what we hope looks like more abundant life, but it often looks pretty small, and just realizing that seems the way of the gospel, small beginnings, small seeds.
Yeah. How is your concept of Jesus different, having been planting a church?
Well, I think like even when my husband was doing college ministry, or he was working as assistant pastor, and we were, you know, moving around a little bit, I think there was definitely the sense like, I want to do big things for God, or like, God's going to call me to do big things because look, I have some level of talent or intelligence or something. And I think the church planting has just really focused us so much on like, we can't make this happen. Like, we can't get this off the ground. Like, we can't draw people to Jesus. We can't even like do all the outside fundraising, you know, that is needed. And if he wants this thing to happen, he's going to have to do it. And so it's put us on such a dependence on God. And it's really helped me too, to realize like that the big thing isn't the thing. It's the many small things, of faithfulness, the small habits, that shape a life.
It's so hard because what you can see in the measurable milestones, they're so shiny and impressive.
I know. I mean, I do want the fancy car that my neighbors have, you know, or the bigger house. Yeah, I know. But I realize it's probably all on credit cards, though. So.
That's a good point. Such a good point.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So in your book, you covered consumerism, like we just talked about, and individualism. We all need to be so special. And then safety and busyness. And you talk about granite countertops and Pinterest and all that kind of stuff. What tends to be the thing you accidentally end up chasing after you don't mean to? Is it the safety or the...
Right. Like of those four kind of like idols of the suburbs. I've struggled with all of them. And yeah, the book is very much like, here, I'm in it with you. I understand.
Yeah.
You know, our misdirected loves. But definitely, I think the individualism, and maybe it's partly right, like I'm an only child, and we all grew up in the like, you can do great things, and everyone gets a participation trophy, and, you know, all of these kind of narratives that we surrounded ourselves with. I think, you know, everything around us is telling us like, you can create your life, right? You can curate your life. And, you know, you can choose any number of options, and you're kind of expected to like go create this beautiful life that's meaningful and has purpose and value. And yet it's kind of like being stuck at the grocery store. When we moved back from the UK, I remember just like standing in the aisles of like the huge grocery stores and being like, there are like 50 bottles of ketchup. Like, how do I like choose, right? We're like paralyzed by choice, and we can't, like, we feel more shame and guilt and fear because we have like every choice available to us.
Yeah. And exhaustion, you know?
Exhaustion. Oh, it's so, it's like, then just walk out. Just don't buy the ketchup. It's just too much, right? And I think that's a really apt metaphor for our lives, even for parenting, right? That mothering, right? Like, you're supposed to have, I mean, my kid had a paper bag vest today. She had to turn in for kindergarten. And I'm like, I know everyone else is going to, like, their mom for sure did it. You know, it's painted. There's like blingy stuff all over it. And I'm like, trying to be like, no, it's so good that you worked on this yourself. But, you know, I'll make sure I write your big letter E for your alphabet vest to make sure it's not totally wonky, you know? So all that to say, I think, yeah, I struggle with this idea of wanting to create this kind of beautiful, meaningful, purposeful life and yet being continually redirected into my actual life, and to realize that that's good, even when it hurts.
And that that is meaningful and purposeful.
Right. Yeah. It's just hard to see that, right? In the midst of, yeah, the toddler melting down or the homework that got left or, yeah, the awkward conversation with your teenager.
Yes. I love how you say that we have to practice discipline and being curious about our hunger pangs, especially in our culture where we really we can satisfy our hunger pangs. Yeah. We really just can. I sometimes, when things are hard at home with, I have a kiddo who is really struggling and they take it out on me. And so I'm like, I'm going to Target. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything. I'm just going to go walk around. And even if I don't buy anything, I'm just going to be around things and new and pretty and, you know what I mean? But I think it's just important to realize, like you said in the book, how what happens when we don't satisfy and we're in that discomfort. Yeah. Like, let's keep ourselves there.
Yeah.
And see what
it's brave. I think it's really brave to go there. And I think most of us choose quicker ways out. Yeah, whether it's Target or scrolling through our phones or clicking to buy something or the hidden chocolate stash. You know, whatever it is, or like, I'm going to volunteer my kid's school 80 hours a week and, you know, work out 80 hours a week or whatever it is. But, you know, things that are good things, right, can become things that actually take us away from meaning and from purpose and our identity.
What have you kind of withheld a little bit to experience that discomfort? Mm-hmm. And what have you learned from it?
Yeah, I think we can think of fasting, right, as something different than just, you know, fasting from food or, you know, and some of it is God's graciousness, I feel like, in withholding stuff from us that we don't need. Like, I would really like a little bit more square footage in our house. We got 4 kids that are getting bigger and stinkier, and it would be awesome to have some more space. But that has been something that God, you know, has withheld from us at this time. And so certain things like, okay, I'm not going to go because I know that I can get really envious and covetousness. I'm taking Zillow and Redfin apps off my phone. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to choose to not assault my eyeballs with things that I can't have. And I don't go to Target quite as often, you know, just like noticing your triggers, like where you tend to go to find comfort and like just choosing like, okay, I'm not going to have the wine in the house or the chocolate in the house, or, you know, instead of picking up the phone to call my girlfriend and complain, you know, I'm going to like put my phone down and maybe I'll call her later. But that's not going to be like my first automatic resource.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. For me lately, it's been, it's been like 3 months. I haven't had any wine in my house, which is hard because I really like to end the day with my friend Merlot.
Yeah.
But I haven't. And it turns out I did not die.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Yeah.
And I also locked myself out of downloads, looking at my podcast downloads. I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
Right. To know how it's doing and you just feel like you're talking into the ether.
Yeah. Yeah. But it makes me uncomfortable not to know too.
Right.
Which is why I need to not know.
Right. And I think, you know, and maybe that's a season thing too. I think a lot of times too, when we think about fasting, we're like, this, I can't like give up wine forever or like chocolate forever or Target forever. But yeah, to realize, okay, this is a season. Let's check back in after a month or two or three. And it makes it like less scary.
It's true. We do think I will do this until the day I die. Well, no, yeah. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, Ashley, it's been so nice to talk to you. This is all really icky, uncomfortable, hard stuff to talk about. You picked quite a topic. It's good though.
Yeah, I tend to go for the jugular, I guess.
I love it. It's good. But I do want to ask you, what is something that you cannot stop talking about right now?
One thing I can't stop talking about because I'm on the hunt for, and I know this is a black jumpsuit. I want to do the whole jumpsuit thing for like a speaking wardrobe. Cause like sometimes I get super stressed out about when I go to speak and, you know, I'm in different parts of the country and it feels like, I don't know how fancy this is or like what kind of microphone you have and what. So I was like, maybe if I just buy like one thing, black jumpsuit, even though they're a little bit trendy and I do trends like a year later, but you know, like if I have just a uniform, that could work. So yeah, I've been asking all my friends, you have a jumpsuit, you've gone there. Can you go to the bathroom in it? And yeah, where did you get it? Is this worth it? Is this a good idea?
That's good. Yeah. I have gone to speaking events way underdressed and it's mortifying.
Yeah.
I went to one time in jeans because that's what we wear to church.
Yeah.
And like little cute boots and everything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But the women there were in like sparkly dresses.
No,
I wanted
sparkles?
To hide in my car. There were sparkles.
Oh, sparkles. That's a whole nother level.
It was a level I was not expecting.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, my problem with jumpsuits is my bottom half is bigger than my top half, and they don't make like it needs to say like explicitly for pear-shaped individuals or something.
Yeah, you got to get the kind maybe that's like the loose, like the wide leg maybe.
Yeah,
wider. Yeah.
I got a case of the wide legs.
Yeah, with a cute tie, like a belt, you know, make a flowy pants.
Yeah. Yes. Well, good luck finding that. I have nothing to suggest for you.
It's okay.
Anyway, thank you, Ashley. It's been so fun getting to know
you. You're welcome. Thanks for the laughter and good questions.
All right, ladies, I think Ashley gave us a lot to think about. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Ashley said? I loved what she said about learning to play alongside her kids and kind of making it a discipline. She talked about on walks, letting the kids be in the moment, explore nature, things like that. Being outside is really just great. And I don't know why, but sometimes we forget that. So when everything in your house is the worst, just load those kids up and get them outside. I remember when we first moved to Texas, I had zero friends. I had a 6-month-old and a 4-year-old. But every Tuesday night was the night that the neighbors in our town were allowed to water our yards because we were like in a drought or something. And so every Tuesday night, we would look forward to that and we would go walk around and play in the sprinklers, in other people's sprinklers. And my daughter was learning. She loved to carry around sticks and bang them on different things and notice what it sounded like. And I was like, this is not that fun. But I actually kind of started having a good time in the sprinklers and the sticks and all of that. So it's funny because looking back on that, I'm like, oh, that was sweet. But in the moment, it didn't feel super fun. So if you don't think what's happening right now is super fun, really just try to stay present with your kids, and someday you'll look back and it'll be a good memory. Maybe you struggle well this week by trying something you're not good at. We don't like not being good at things, but it's really humbling and you might actually learn something. So maybe you try that. She mentioned at one point having to rearrange her kids in the car because they were making her nuts the way they were sitting. If you have the ability to do that, maybe something simple as rearranging the way your kids are in the car could give you actual life this week. Do not put them in the trunk. Do not put them on the roof of the car. I know you were thinking it. Ashley talked about wanting to read with her kids more. She said she did, but she thought maybe she could do it more. I mean, isn't that motherhood? Couldn't we all do something great more than we're already doing it? Something that we've been doing, because my kids are all into such different things, is in the end of the night, really they're just doing it to try to stay up later. I'm no fool, but I'm going along with it. When I try to read in my bed before I go to bed, they come in with their books, and then we all just read quietly. And there's just something so nice about everybody just hanging out together at the end of the day. And also then I don't have to read Dogman books out loud to my son because they make me crazy. So reading with your kids is going to look different as they get older. And that's great. Another thing she talked about is letting go of some expectations that she had of how the kids would eat, how the kids would sleep, where we would live, what kind of car we would drive. Maybe you struggle well this week by picking one expectation that you're having that keeps bugging you. And let it go. Let it go. Do it. Speaking of that, my son got a remote control car, and one of the buttons, you press it and the car dances on its own. You don't even have to hold the remote to let it go. Like a boy's remote control car sings Let It Go. I'm so confused. Something that Ashley said was that the abundant life she's noticed is in small beginnings. It's in small seeds. And then she said that seems to be the way of the gospel. I think in this season of Christmas with a tiny baby coming that just changed everything, I hope that can be a reminder to us that abundant life is absolutely available to us. We just have to have eyes to see it. Y'all know I love Sarah Groves, and one time I stalked outside of a bathroom just so I could meet her. Yes, it was weird, but yes, it ended well. Anyhow, Sarah Groves has a song called This Cup, and it's about, you know, how Jesus said to God, if there's any way for this cup to pass, like if I don't have to die, that'd be amazing. But so she talks about this cup, meaning this present reality that I'm in. Just the words are gorgeous. And she really artfully and beautifully talks about the discomfort of the present moment. I would love things to be different, but they're not. And I want to drink this cup up because it is God's best for us, or it wouldn't be what he gave us. And even if the situation we're in is the pits, he allowed it and he's using it. So let's be present, even as we're staring at this cup that we'd rather not have to drink. But I would encourage you to listen to that song, This Cup by Sarah Groves. Ashley said that she, when things get really loud or visually, there's too much going on and it stresses her out, she tries to calm herself by saying, if I'm a child of God, what does that look like? And then just sitting with God and asking him to give you a visual. I loved when she said, this baby in my arms is not worried if it's doing the baby thing right. And Jesus says he loves childlike faith. So maybe this week we struggle well by trying to get one of those. All right, ladies, just a reminder, if you loved this, share it on social media, share it with your friends. There's a button on your podcast app that makes sharing really simple. Also, my birthday is tomorrow. I'm turning 40. Will you rate this show as my birthday present? That would just be the bee's knees. I'm not sure if I just use that idiom correctly, but I'm going with it. Also, don't forget to join me on Instagram at @momstrugglingwell and come see me at 9 o'clock on Thursday Central Time so that we can talk about this episode and how your week has been going. As always, ladies, you can stop striving because you're already enough. Peace is just a perspective shift away. So keep your eyes open for that and have a great week of struggling. Well, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, you say that you sent your son so that we could have life abundantly. And God, I know from me, I'm so guilty of having abundant life gathered all around me and I just don't see it because I'm looking at something else. So please forgive me when my eyes are in completely the wrong spot. Thank you for your patience and your grace with me. Lord, would you give us eyes to see the rich blessings that are in this current cup that we would like to just pass over? Would you help us stay present in the discomfort? And Lord, you're so good to us. I know that as we stay present, you will show up. You'll show up in big ways that we never saw coming. So God, would you just blow us away with your goodness this week. In Jesus' name, amen.